As your church of many years strayed from sound biblical teaching, what can be done to bring correction? Stay tuned.
Make no mistake about it. Tragically, most churches in America are nothing more than social clubs. That's right. The church has become a mere social club. Not all churches, but most of them. Open your eyes and see the truth. If you are a member of an apostate church, anybody under the sound of my voice, please leave.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We begin today's broadcast with Dr. Randy White, author of the article, Why Your Church Won't Be Able to Find a Pastor. Randy White Ministries began 6 years ago as an online and radio Bible teaching ministry. Today, Randy's ministry focuses on producing verse-by-verse Bible teaching resources for individuals. Later in this hour, Jill Martin Rishi and Eric Barger join Jan to discuss the apostate church. Now here's our host, Jan Markell.
Now, I want to spend some time in this segment talking to an author of an intriguing article I read online. I have had Dr. Randy White on the radio program before, and just a word about him. Randy White Ministries was started in 2011 as an online and radio Bible teaching ministry, and today the ministry is focused on producing verse-by-verse Bible teaching resources for individuals. He served for a number of years as pastor of the First Baptist Church of Katy, Texas, and now is pastor of the First Baptist Church of Taos, New Mexico. And Dr. White is heard weekly on his call-in program, Ask the Theologian, and hosts a popular interactive online Bible study Thursday nights. You can learn more at randywhiteministries.org. And the title of the article that caught my eye some weeks ago now was Why Your Church Won't Be Able to Find a Pastor. I have a feeling that's registering with a lot of listeners as I say that. Eric Barger is in studio with me. Eric, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Pleasure, Jan. I'm glad to be here with this conversation.
Well, it's something I think you understand in your world of visiting churches. And Dr. Randy White, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan and Eric. Always delighted to be with you all.
Let me just read a paragraph that you open with, and then let's go back and forth here. But you say, for many small to medium-sized churches, it is already difficult to find a pastor. Unfortunately, I see the time coming when it is almost impossible for biblically solid churches to find a pastor. I already know of a handful of small churches that are looking for a pastor, want a pastor, and even can pay for a pastor. They simply can't find one. What is the problem? The church culture is completely at odds with biblical teaching, and the social culture is at odds with the church. The smaller the church, the greater the challenge will be. And then, Dr. White, you say there is an anti-establishment spirit among younger, perhaps under 40 pastors. What do you mean by an anti-establishment spirit?
Well, you see it so strongly in the church planting movement, which is just all the rage with seminary students and even seminary professors preaching this and teaching this. And there is this spirit among younger pastors or those who are preparing to be pastors that I will never go to an established church. And it is spoken with a disdain. It is spoken with a tremendous amount of disrespect, I think. And there is a rebellion, really, that is taking place or being expressed in the church planting movement that says, out with the old, in with the new. The old is bad, the new is good, and we're going to do it our way. And nobody's going to give us any rules or tell us how it should be done. And I'm not putting up with all that. And this really, I think, started, honestly, with the professors who had an in-seated disdain for pastors, usually. And that was communicated then to the students.
Well, you say about the anti-establishment among the younger, you say these pastors grew up in established churches, had parents who were involved in the moral majority, and came out with a bad taste for the right-wing establishment. The view of the younger crowd, as voiced by Russell Moore, is that the forefathers viewed the gospel as a megaphone that shouted, get off my lawn, to every wayward soul. The Jerry Falwell wing, as Moore called the previous generation in a recent tweet, is viewed with disdain, though in my opinion, the influence of Falwell, the moral majority, and the great right-wing conspiracy was far more powerful on society than anything at work in the religious world today. And then you say, Dr. Randy White, go hang around a seminary for a day or two and have lunch with students and hear their heart, and you will probably hear them say, I'll never go to an established church, which is how we opened the program.
That's right. And, you know, two things on this. First of all, when you go to the seminary, you're going to find out that there are not even many young men there who are preparing to be a pastor. They'll tell you they're preparing to go into missions, perhaps. And when you dig into that, what you're going to find is they're preparing to go into social justice work, or they're going into counseling, or they're going into some sort of academia where they want to teach and not have the constraints and the burdens of a local congregation. So it's a very small minority, really, that are preparing to be a pastor. And of those, they're preparing to go out and start a church because they have, again, this disdain for the previous generation of fundamental Christians and the expression of their work. And I think a lot of this is there's a liberalism seated in the heart of these young men, too.
You know, everything that's been said so far is just so spot on to me, Jan. It's really a spirit of rebellion. That's what I see. And when I meet a pastor under 40, and I'm thinking of my friend Brandon out in Bakersfield, California, you see these guys who are really hanging on to the Word of God, and they feel so alone because their peers have decided to go out and do their own thing. And I think when you see one of them, you want to pour your heart into them, give them as much as you can, encourage them, really affirm that they're going the right direction, because there are so few today. And that's really the tragedy. We're not turning people out of seminary who believe the Bible. We're turning out people out of seminary who want to go out and be social justice people, as Dr. White just pointed out. And that's really the problem. And I think part of this is seated in the fact that these young men who want to start their own church and do their own thing, it's all about maybe their elders are going to be 25. Imagine an elder helping lead a church at 25. That would be a rare gift if he really could lead a church. The problem is, it's a pastor who wants to do his own thing at all costs, and that's trouble.
We're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, and we're talking about an article I saw online because I know the author, Dr. Randy White, and the title of the article was Why Your Church Won't Be Able to Find a Pastor, which sounds kind of bleak. And another point you give, Randy White, is the available pastors can't teach verse by verse. What do you mean by that? Because, I mean, okay, topical sermons, I know sometimes they're looked down on, but then, you know, that doesn't mean somebody's unqualified or a heretic to give a topical sermon. So what do you mean they can't preach verse by verse?
Well, they really just simply don't have the skills, because they haven't been taught it in seminary, nor for the most part even have it modeled for them. There's certainly exceptions to that. But the ability to take the book of Daniel or the book of Ephesians, or you pick your book, and just work with the congregation, go through that line by line, precept by precept, teaching that to the congregation, is really what it takes to have a long-term ministry, especially in a small to a medium-sized church, because the truth is, you run out of topics, you know, after you have given your 6 or 8 weeks of, you know, see you at the top kind of sermons and how to be a champion. The farmer that's sitting out there who has year after year after year been planting the same row of crops and harvesting those crops, and he's living a good and wholesome life, and he's raised good kids and good grandchildren, and your topical sermon really is kind of putting his lifestyle down, that he's not making a big impact for God and all these things, and you're just going to run into a challenge, first of all, with the people in the pew. You're going to run into a challenge with something to say after you've repeated your soapbox topics, and you don't know what to do with the Bible and how to carry out the Bible. I find often with pastors in having a conversation, they could talk about golf, they could talk about leadership principles, and they can talk about marriage and family, but they can't talk about prophecy, for example.
I got an email this morning, just an hour or so ago. I'm kind of trying to weave it into our discussion here, because I wrote an e-newsletter yesterday on the church today and the fact that they're shutting out eschatology. They're shutting out, I mean, some pulpits won't even suggest to their members how to vote. And I'm not talking party, I'm talking about issues that you vote on. The pulpits are just so empty of the things that the people are longing to understand. And this person writes, Walter writes from Louisville, and I want your response, Dr. White. He says, I have a dilemma that I fear is shared by many of your supporters and listeners. What do we do about our local churches? I know of no church here in the greater Louisville, Kentucky area that has any sort of commitment to the issues that matter to me, including eschatology or Bible prophecy. I have been searching for one for years. This is the home of the Southern Baptist Seminary, and one might think they would offer a few classes on the subject, but they don't. Every seminary student I've met that. From there is clearly in the replacement theology camp. Then he says, your article ends with the phrase, let your voice be heard. And he says, I can honestly say that I have tried to do that in my church, but I get frustrated when my efforts didn't result in more enthusiasm. So I am reaching out and asking on behalf of all interested believers like me and your listeners, what can we do to reverse the situation in our churches other than pray?
You know, sadly, Walter is, he's exactly right. Not only in Louisville, though I do understand there's a tremendous problem in that Louisville area. I've got a number of people who follow our ministry that have spoken to me about the same thing from Louisville, and they just wish they had a church to go to that was teaching the Bible from a literal, grammatical, historical perspective, rather than a mixed-up kind of covenant theology that mixes Israel and the church and mixes grace and law. And, you know, I wish I could say, you're just not looking in the right place, but I'm afraid that he's right. He's looked everywhere, and it's not there. And I think it's probably going to come down to some people like Walter are probably going to have to start home group movements, home churches that can eventually, perhaps, will become a church. They're never going to be the mega churches, but it may be able to be a church of 30 or 40 people. And I think this is another thing that people are going to have to change their perspective, is that you don't necessarily need what has become defined as the successful church today, and that is it doesn't need a choir, it doesn't need a nursery, it doesn't need this program and that program and all these things. What it needs is a pastor and a group of people that are coming together as a family, and they're teaching the Word of God.
This is just one more assault against the Word of God is what it comes down to, and this is a major one. And I think many of the seminarians, they can't teach the Bible because that's not what they focused on when they were in school. They were thinking about how they were going to change the world concerning the Palestinians or whatever it might be. That was their thinking, and they see expository teaching, they see doctrine as an enemy rather than the standard bearer of the church or what the church is all about. And so when you have the emergence in the last 20, 25 years teaching that that doctrine is a dirty word, this is what we now get at the end of this period, and that is kids who are coming out of seminary who are not qualified, and that's the problem.
We're basing our conversation off of an article that I saw online, Why Your Church Won't Be Able to Find a Pastor, by Dr. Randy White. You can read it at randywhiteministries.org, randywhiteministries.org. He's pastor of the First Baptist Church of Taos, New Mexico, formerly First Baptist Katy, Texas. My radio producer is a former pastor. You wanted to weigh in, Larry.
Well, I think Eric is right. I think it all begins from training of the leaders. And when you are training and you are talking about the things that are important, the doctrinal underpinnings of Scripture, then what you end up having is an iPhone Christianity. Mm. And people come to church with their iPhones, and they can listen to every kind of person under the sun. And some of them obviously are taking on issues that they shouldn't be. But you know, the bottom line is, it's a lot easier, in my experience, to talk about social justice and to get people on a social justice bandwagon than it is to talk about the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that it's a lot easier to go the other way.
Dr. White, what I've noticed is in the church, and I've ministered, as has Eric, and we've ministered in the churches for a lot of years, and I've watched the Sunday night service be dropped, the Wednesday night service be dropped. Now I'm learning even adult education is being dropped. I think there's an emphasis on small groups. I'm sure that's just fine. But things seem to be changing rather drastically compared to even 20 years ago.
They are totally different from when I began in the pastorate 25 years ago. And the entire environment around the church is changed. And even these small groups, I certainly think there's some benefit in a small group ministry. And yet, what they have become is discussion groups about feeling and about meaning rather than truth. This was, you know, John Dewey brought this into society through public education, that it's not the truth that matters, it's the meaning, he said. It's hard to even know what it meant, because nobody knows what John Dewey meant, because there was no absolute truth there. And so these small groups are not, again, opening up the Bible. They might be opening up somebody's book and seeing what somebody had to say about something that had something to say about another thing. You know, and the teaching of Scripture is just foreign to churches today. Verse by verse, book after book, learning the teachings of Scripture. And again, I am totally fine with a topical sermon from time to time, but the diet of the church needs to be the Word of God. And I often have to give an introduction to my sermon that says, now when you leave today, someone's going to say, well, what did he preach about? And they're going to list this topic and that topic and the other topic. And I say, well, he was all over the map. And I say, what I'm preaching about is, and I'll mention the passage. And I'll say, if you can go home today and pass a quiz on that passage of Scripture, then I've done my job. That's what I'm preaching about today.
That's exactly right. And I preach topically because of the stuff I deal with, the occult and the New Age movement and, you know, what's happening in the church and spiritual warfare and those issues. But there's got to be a reinforcement that the Bible's the bottom line, that the Word of God is complete and it's for us and we need to hide it in our hearts and all those kind of things. And that's not what we're hearing often. But if somebody didn't open the Word of God and if there wasn't an encouragement from the Word of God or a challenge to the people in the group, then that small group was just about rock climbing or ping pong or whatever else it was. And it didn't have what we should have when we meet together as a church.
That's right. And I'm all for churches coming together in fellowship and small groups within fellowship and encouraging, spurring one another on to love and good works. Mm-hmm. And there is such a need to learn some doctrinal issues, which a doctrine is basically a topic, and some worldview issues in those topical type environments. But the pastor of the local church really also needs to be equipped to make sure that they are creating among their church members Bible experts. And that takes just years and years and years of teaching the Bible, one verse after another.
Yeah, exactly. Inspiring a hunger for the Word of God should be part of the job of the pastor. And really, he has to lead it by example.
Exactly.
Well, again, the most frequent email that I think the three of us get on a weekly basis is, can you recommend? I just had one about 3 minutes before I came to the microphone here. It happened to be, can you recommend a church in Pittsburgh? So, I mean, this is on the hearts of my listeners and our ministry followers of all of us. And I don't think there's an easy answer. Dr. White, would part of the problem here be the church growth movement that has affected pastors of all ages, perhaps?
I would say that's not even part of the problem. That's the cornerstone of the problem.
It is.
That's right.
Just starting back in the 60s with Peter Wagner and the church growth movement that most of us, anyway, I know I was there once, bought into it. Mm-hmm. And I did it because that's what I was taught in the seminary. I didn't know anything different. Mm-hmm. That's what was valued. And there was not an environment in the seminary I went, and I don't think in most of them, even in most churches today, there was not an environment of asking questions, of questioning the assumptions upon which it was built. And today, it very much is completely, what do you do to get more people than you had last year? And the person who can do that is going to be rewarded with speaking engagements, with bigger congregations to go to, with book writing deals. And this just brings out more motivation to do the things that get the people in. Mm-hmm. And the things that get the people in is honestly, and unfortunately, it's not teaching the Word.
In every one of those emails we get, one of the themes is that the people feel betrayed because they're not, the Word of God is not being honored in their church.
Right.
You can learn more again at randywhiteministries.org. Take part in Ask the Theologian online, his online Bible study as well at randywhiteministries.org. He's pastor of First Baptist Church, Taos, New Mexico. Dr. White, keep up the good work. Appreciate how you contend for the faith and take a stand for truth. And your articles, many of them are fascinating. Again, folks, we've played off his article, Why Your Church Won't Be Able to Find a Pastor. We'll stay in touch, Randy.
Thank you, and God bless you all in your ministry.
All right, thank you.
There's a condition in the church that's spreading to all denominations. Coming up, Jan and her media team will unpack that condition next. You don't want to miss it. But first, a brief reminder. This broadcast is listener underwritten. That means the only way we stay on the air is through the prayers and financial support of our listeners. If you believe in what we're doing, please consider becoming our ministry partner. All gifts are tax deductible and can be mailed to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also give online when you click on to olivetreeviews.org. Just one more reminder, you can order audio copies of today's broadcast when you phone 763-559-4444. Jan will return with more conversation right after this.
Folks, this ministry has written a little end time study guide. Are we living in the last days? For your neighborhood group in your church interested in these topics, you can cover it in 12 weeks. It's got built-in questions in the study guide. Check it out in my store, olivetreeviews.org. It's in all of my newsletters, print and e-newsletters, or give my office a call. It's $9 for one copy. You can get 10 copies for $60. And those who have an interest in this topic, you can just have a 12-week study, and it's not detailed, it's not complicated.
It's not too early to make plans to attend Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, just outside of Minneapolis. Join us at Grace Church in Eden Prairie from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's no cost or registration needed. You can spend the day with like-minded believers who don't think it's strange that you want to understand the times and also discern the times of Bible prophecy. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Our book, the Bible, contains 29% future events. 29% of this book is Bible prophecy. God wants us to know even the future.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
So I don't believe we should scoff at signs. I don't believe we should be reckless speculators, but I do believe that signs of the times are important and that we live in a time today when the stage is being set.
Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii.
Jerusalem, as Joel Rosenberg calls it, is the epicenter. It is the second hand on God's prophetic clock. You want to know what time it is in terms of Bible prophecy? Look at Jerusalem.
Michelle Bachman.
Jesus Christ is coming back. We, in our lifetimes, potentially could see Jesus Christ returning to earth, the rapture of the church. This is one of the most exciting times in history. We need to be exactly watching the tenor of the times, be observing, and look up our redemption draw-off night.
Hotel information is posted at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call us for complete details at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We have promised that we'll keep talking about today, but always with an eye on tomorrow and the hope of His return.
An apostasy, of course, in the Greek is a falling away, and a falling away is that from which we once believed. It's a giving up of what was dearly held as the truth, that before the Antichrist is revealed, there's an Antichrist spirit, a spirit of lawlessness that comes upon the earth. Satan and the powers of darkness are going to be setting the stage, trying to shipwreck and destroy the faith of many Christians. And the Bible said, because sin will be rampant, the faith of many will grow cold. And many, many Christians are going to be shipwrecked in their faith. Many ministers are going to be shipwrecked in their faith. Now, God's great concern is not so much about what Christians are falling into as what they're falling away from.
Has your local church moved away from a traditional view of the Bible and chosen a more contemporary worldview? Jan Markell and her media team of Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi are here to discuss the issue of churches who are straying from biblical truth. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
And we want to continue on with our theme here, sort of relating to church issues. And let me just say right up front that I'm going to use the word bombarded. That may be a little bit strong, but you get the point. A lot of emails come in asking me to recommend a church in, well, you fill in the blank city, and some even out of the country, out of the U.S. And since I'm unable to visit churches outside of my area, I mean, I pretty much cannot be of a lot of assistance to so many who want a sound church, but they're at a loss as to where to find one. Big towns, small towns, little country towns, you name it. They're having a horrible time finding a solid church. And I sense that most of those inquiring, they're not looking for perfection. I also sense that all of them have red lines they cannot go over when it comes mainly to theology. That is some aberrant theology that they cannot accept. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here. That has crept into a church perhaps of many years or is in one of the churches that they are visiting. There's some kind of a red line that they can't cross that's going to keep them. Here's an email I got. Now, this is 4 or 5 paragraphs, but let me read it. I think some of you are going to identify. I'm not going to give the name. I'm not going to give the location. But this writer sent this to me a few weeks ago, and she says, I was almost drawn into a church that believes in the tenets of the New Apostolic Reformation. When I asked the pastor about the NAR, he had never heard of it. However, the church believes in heaven on earth now, or dominion theology. They believe in fivefold ministry, new apostolic revelation, etc. I attended for 6 months. I loved it. I had heard the church and some members mentioned Bethel Church in Redding, California. I was not familiar with them, but I liked them on Facebook and began to follow them. I decided to attend a women's Bible study at the church, which was written by Bill Johnson, pastor of Bethel Church. This is when I became concerned. I looked into Johnson and Bethel Church. I became very concerned. I emailed one of my pastors. He suggested we meet in person. He was gracious, not confrontational. I believe genuinely wanted to understand my concerns. But at the end of the meeting, I knew I would not be returning to this wonderful church. I listened to your broadcast from last January with Ron Rhodes, so I was aware of the verbiage that is used in the NAR, or New Apostolic Reformation Circle. This gal goes on, she says, the thing is, the former church of mine, and this is the one that we're talking about here, she says, it's drinking the Kool-Aid, and they don't even know it. They have no idea they are deceived. The people there are genuine, and they love the Lord, but they have said they want to take the city, and there is a circle around the city, so no demons can enter. I am certain you recognize this as NAR, New Apostolic Reformation philosophy. I am so grieved I had to leave a church where I made friends and felt so joyous. I just want to add one more thing. Before joining the church, I asked the leaders if they taught or spoke about eschatology or end times. Their response was that it divided the church and they are looking for unity, so they don't speak on this subject ever. I feel so deceived, and I am now skeptical of who I can trust. I will continue to listen to your broadcast and pray the Lord continues to bless your outreach. Okay, so that prompted me to invite into the studio today for a little discussion, the familiar voices of Eric Barger, my frequent co-host, and Joel Martin Rishi, also a frequent co-host. Eric, your thoughts when you heard this email?
Well, it's reminiscent of a lot that I get as well. I've gotten two in the last week that are so similar I could start reading lines and we wouldn't know which one it came from. Sometimes it's on a little different topic. In times past, it's been about the emergent church movement, but these movements have come in the church and they've been accepted widely for, I think, different reasons. And you'd have to ask each person who has introduced them in particular churches what made them do it. But, you know, we all want to see God be God and do as he will do and be sovereign. But these things begin to then deny or ignore things the scripture teach very, very clearly, like the whole idea of heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. This is one of the main points that, you know, that goes against everything that the scriptures teach about the end times, not the way it's going to be.
Let me just quickly qualify and say that heaven on earth is the belief that the church can make the world perfect and then the mm-hmm. Lord can return because of dominionism and the fact that the church will make the world perfect for the return of the Lord.
Exactly. It puts the onus on the church that we've got to do these things and then suddenly we can open the way for Christ to come. That's not in the scripture, folks. That is not in the Bible. Things get darker and darker. I wish I had the other report. I wish I could tell you the Bible says that if we'll do this, then he's going to come and everything's going to be wonderful and there'll never be a literal antichrist and there won't be a tribulation period. And
let me just outline a couple of scenarios here. Let's start with scenario number one, and that is the listener is already in a church and it suddenly manifests. It could be New Apostolic Reformation, emergent, suddenly there's contemplative prayer, suddenly there's talking about the labyrinth, and something is, let's just say, blatantly apostate. What does the listener do? Jill, what do you say to church leadership? They think it's a sound church, and all of a sudden something either comes in or there's something she didn't recognize. In her case, New Apostolic Reformation, Bill Johnson, Bethel Church. And what do you say to church leadership?
Well, you take a stand for the faith, a firm stand for the faith. That does not mean being disrespectful or in any way arrogant about your approach. You need to know your facts. You need to know your essential doctrines of the faith. You need to know where these doctrines are being breached, rewritten, edited, whatever is happening there. And then you need to pray and go with a humble spirit to the leadership. If there are others who feel the same way you do, then you need to take them with you. So I think it's following biblical advice where if you have aught against someone, in this case, it's doctrinal. So stretching it a little bit because they're referring there to personal things, but I think we need to go to them and be honest with them.
Church leadership may be in denial.
Mm-hmm.
They may be uninformed, and this person thought this pastor was uninformed. They may know nothing about this false theology that they are promoting. And again, in her case, she'd made wonderful friends. They couldn't see anything wrong with what the church was teaching. Eric, what do you do then? Jill says go to the leadership in humility. They haven't a clue what's wrong.
You can't go with your guns blazing.
Yeah.
I think you want to approach them in the framework of Scripture, not necessarily quoting Scripture to prove how wrong they are. That isn't going to communicate to them. Most likely they have lowered their view of Scripture.
Yes.
And sometimes even without realizing it's been done. Although I will say, if you have a new pastor, and I'm not picking on younger pastors because I know some who are dynamic and wonderful and biblical and following Scripture, so it's not meant to be a blanket condemnation. But if they've been taught in seminary that they have to change the way the church operates and acts and thinks, and they bought into these ideas in the church growth movement that is now morphed in many ways through the last 25 or 30 years, then they may have brought this in, and this may be part of the plan to little by little get to where they're now being discovered by those who think biblically. And so they probably have an answer back for what they're doing. And I think what we have to do is just stay with Scripture and stay Christ-like in our approach to this, and remember that we're there to bring change, not to prove how right we are.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio two frequent co-hosts, sometimes they're co-guests, Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi. Jill is the daughter of the late Dr. Walter Martin, and we'll give some contact information a little bit later. But I think I hear the comment frequently, variations of this comment, I never thought that the great apostasy, or let's just say false teaching, we don't have to blow it up here. I never thought false teaching would manifest in my beloved church. And yet we're in the days of the great falling away, Jill.
Well, the thing is that so many people do not take the time to learn the essential doctrines of the faith. My father always said, you need to know the original before you can identify the counterfeit. So they get taken in by these quick Bible study things that are sold in Christian bookstores now. You know, it's like a 12-week study. They get taken in by certain things, and then they spread it all over the church. And before you know it, everybody's watching it and sitting there, you know, some people are, they're very few of them are sitting there going, what am I watching? Most of them are sitting there thinking, oh, this sounds good. Why? Because they don't have anything hardcore to compare it to. It's the old study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly interpreting the word of truth.
Amen. Exactly. Got to know what we believe first. And that's really the key. And if the church has been lax in teaching us that and telling us that, say for a year, 5, 10 or more, if we've not heard the doctrines of the faith, if nobody has explained to us what is the central doctrines that mold us together as believers in Jesus Christ, as Christians, then I think the church has missed it there. So it's no wonder they could introduce other things.
Yeah, and my father goes through this. He has a book called Essential Christianity. It's 133 pages where he examines the 12 key doctrines of the Christian faith. And there it is, just in a nutshell. So it is out there. And one thing I wanted to say too, Jan, is you have churches where the pastors are really sincere men of God. And what happens a lot of times is they're just very busy. So they leave choices for these curriculums to other people. And then sometimes they're surprised by what's out there. So if you look at your pastor and you know him and you think this is really a man of God, then I would give him the benefit of the doubt and try to go to him and say, look, did you know that this person is teaching this or this person is teaching that? And start out that way.
Exactly. And I'm going to say the book's name again because Essential Christianity really helped to change my life. It really helped me to get a grip on those doctrines that do keep us together, that make us Christians. And I would encourage folks to seek that book out. It was life-changing for me. And as you know, how much your father affected me, Jill. So that's a book that really did it.
That's always great to hear.
All right. Larry Kutzler. Larry was a pastor for almost 30 years. Go ahead.
Well, I think Jill was right. I think we have to find resources to help people understand the doctrines, because I think Jill was very kind to many pastors, but it all begins at the pulpit. And if the pulpit isn't preaching on doctrines, it's pretty hard for anybody, especially if you're a fairly new Christian, to understand what the doctrines are. And since 1989, when your father passed into heaven, and today, that's a lot of time that has eroded or has elapsed, and they have not preached on doctrines since back in those days.
It's a rare thing.
I think we also need to examine, you know, what's coming out from the pulpit in the way of, do we hear evangelism going on? I don't want anybody to be beat up with it, but, you know, are the sermons convicting? Do you feel the strength of the scripture being emphasized, or is it just nice, light, fluffy stories and we all walk away feeling goosebumps?
We're playing off actually an email, but we have this conversation quite often on the church today. An email I got about a gal who was in a church for quite a while, and all of a sudden some real aberrations began to manifest, and she had to leave. Heartbroken, she had to leave. I want to move on to scenario number two, and that could be that you must look for a new church and you don't want it to embrace anything false. What do we look for? Starting to look for a new church, we're concerned because we've been burned perhaps in other churches. We know some of the pitfalls, the contemplative prayer, the postmodernism, all the things that are out there today. Seeker sensitive, we want to avoid those things. I mean, Eric, what would you look for?
Well, I mean, there's questions you ask, and you can make some observations as you go along, and it just if you're observant of what's happening and maybe what's in the church itself, I'm talking about what's being advocated by others and so on. You look at the past. First and foremost, you've got to come to the place of getting to where their view on Scripture is. Mm-hmm. If their view of Scripture is not the absolute standard that we go by, the highest standard, if that's not there, and you know, it may say so in their statement of faith, but that statement of faith may have been on a plaque in a classroom for 30 years, but is it in practice is the question. And I just mentioned evangelism, and there's other things, their view of Israel, their view of eschatology. Oh, and do they listen to Understand the Times radio regularly? That would be a good
there
one.
There you go. Would help.
But, you know, their view of ecumenism, you know, are they willing to join hands with other religions and so on? I mean, and do so without even a thought about what that looks like to the world and how that may weaken their ability to be able to say Jesus is the only way, as John 14:6 says.
Okay, no church is perfect. Obviously, every church has some kind of a flaw. Some flaws are fatal flaws. Can we accept some flaws? Jill, what if they're theological and, well, borderline? Not overly serious, but kind of serious.
Well, there are going to be things that we differ on. We're humans.
Yeah.
Look at all of the denominations in the Protestant world. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be things that we differ on. And I know everyone out there, and I've talked to a lot of you on Facebook, and I know that you know what you believe, and there are things you can accept, things you cannot accept. So this is an individual choice. Obviously, you have to stick to the doctrines of the church, their core. But, you know, we're going to have these non-essentials or peripheral things. And when I say non-essentials, that's non-essential to salvation. So we're going to have these disagreements, and it's just a fact of life. I would say review, know what you believe, stand up for what you believe, look for what you believe. One great thing to do is if you're starting to attend a new church, the pastors or the pastor's wife, they usually lead Bible studies. Go to their Bible study. Hear what they're saying. Talk with them. That's the only way you're really going to get a true picture of what's being taught in the church.
Larry Kutzler, when you were a pastor and someone came to you and started to express concern, maybe they were in serious disagreement with you, let's stick to theology right now. How did you handle it?
Well, like most pastors, we kind of push back quite hard. We mm-hmm. don't like people coming up to us and telling us, you know, that, well, you're not doing this, or you're not preaching that. So, you know, there's got to be a spirit of humility in a leader to be able to handle a question mm-hmm. like that. I would ask the question, and that's one of the things we don't do enough of, ask good questions. Well, why are you concerned about that? And listening from the person's perspective why it is and try to mediate some sort of middle ground. But I'll guarantee you, those leaders that I have confronted on issues, they push back hard and they don't want to hear it. In fact, you won't even get an audience with them.
Really?
No, they won't. They won't even talk to you. Because why? They're not going to change their point of view, and all you are is an irritant, so they just sort of avoid you, or, you know, the people that keep people away will do so.
Then shouldn't that be a sign to move on?
Well, I think there's a lot of churches that we need to move on from. Yes, like Eric said, and Jill, we need to come back to the foundations of the Scripture and be trained by the Scripture, not stories, not concepts that some author has written, and that's the new trend in the church right now. It's the Scripture. It's the Word of God. And I think one of your guests recently, I think it was Dr. Randy White, just before this section, was talking about how most pastors aren't doing expositional preaching.
Right. That's
verse
right.
by verse. Verse by verse. It's all story. It's all topical. It's all sweet.
Yeah, that's even being condemned in some circles, you know. I mean, because, you know, they say it's, you're basically cheating. I can't believe that anyone who claims to be evangelical is thinking, but evangelical itself, that very term, has the definition's been changed. You know, when Melanie and I moved back to Washington State from Texas, which has now been over a decade ago, we had some prerequisites. I was not going to be coming home after a trip to fight a battle of something that had happened in church while I was gone. I didn't want to get the phone call Sunday night from my wife saying, "You're never going to believe what they did today." And so we were coming back to what we found out was the least churched county in the United States, where choices are pretty slim.
Okay, let's pick up on that in our closing segment. What is the point where you say, no, can't deal with this, we've got to move on? Let's consider some of those things in our closing segment. I also want to talk about some of the things I hear at my annual conference, and I hear some very, very interesting statements that people come up and tell me. They're not all that encouraging, but some of you, I think you'll feel not quite so alone when you hear them. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
When Understanding the Times returns, Jan and her team will look at the various infractions that might drive you to leave your local church. First, we want you to know we like to keep in touch with you beyond this broadcast. We do that through our website, olivetreeviews.org. At olivetreeviews.org, you can subscribe to our newsletter, sign up for our e-news alerts, our news headlines, and much, much more. Our archives at olivetreeviews.org contain 5 years of past radio programs. Catch up on the ones you've missed. Also, at olivetreeviews.org, you can sign up for podcasts of this program. We get our surface mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Reach us by phone at 763-559-4444. Jan and the team will be right back.
I have often called Understanding the Times radio, radio for the remnant. Around the world, people have had enough of fake news, slanted news, and evidence that good people are marginalized and unappreciated. That is why this program focuses on the truth and the ultimate good news. If you would like to keep it coming to your neighborhood, please consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries. Give online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call us business hours, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just drop us a note. If you can't financially support, let us know we make a difference in your life. Write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Help us look at today, but with another eye on tomorrow and the ultimate hope that awaits us.
I'd like to say that if you don't agree with the vision of the church anymore, and you find yourself in opposition to where the church is going, you're looking at things that you're not in agreement with, then it's probably likely time to move on, because you're not identifying with where the church is going.
Now, let's wrap up Jan's discussion with Eric and Jill on today's Understanding the Times. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. Remember, if you do contact us, and particularly if you send a gift, always tell us what station you're listening to so we can credit your gift properly. Thank you for doing so. You can get a CD of any program. Follow us on Facebook at Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. The gal who manages our Facebook and Twitter is in studio with me, Jill Martin Rishi, daughter of Dr. Walter Martin. Remember, the programming is always posted to my website on Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and go to radio. And Eric and Jill, they are both in studio with me today as we consider church-related issues and church-related dilemmas, because as I opened these last two segments, reading an email, people are overwhelmed with church dilemma. At my conference each fall, here are just a few things that people tell me. They tell me that it is so wonderful to be with like-minded people because they realize they're not alone. In other words, the subject matter is never covered in their world or their church. And now being at an annual conference, they're able to talk to people and know they're not going to be made fun of. They say they never thought that the great apostasy or the great falling away would strike their beloved church. They say some of them are now staying home, getting all their church information online or on television or on radio. They say they're not looking for perfection, but they cannot accept whatever aberration has befallen their church or denomination. They state that they're finding people who have had equally devastating church experiences. This at my fall conference, where we have anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 people, and many of them are just brokenhearted because of what has happened to their particular church or denomination. Okay, at what point is the point of no return? For all of us and for every listener, it might be different. I'm just going to say for me up front, it's going to be if I'm starting to hear replacement theology, the church is the new Israel. If I'm starting to hear extra-biblical revelation being talked about, things like that, I have to be out the door. Jill Martin Rishi, for you, it would be?
The authority of the Scripture, mm-hmm. the sole authority, absolute authority of the Scripture, the deity of Christ, the Trinity, you know, you name it, virgin birth, solid things that are Christian doctrines down through the ages and taught in Scripture. If I see any crossing the line there, I'm out.
I'm with her. The essential central doctrines that we talked about, virgin birth is the most attacked mm-hmm. of the doctrines, resurrection, the bodily resurrection, the second most attacked doctrine. Those are essential for us to call ourselves Christians. And when those things are denied, downplayed, ignored, you'll know, folks, if you stick around long enough. I think we just need to know, as the Scripture says, study to show ourselves approved. And I think before we make any movement toward the door, we examine our own motivation as mm-hmm. well. I think it's something we have to look and see, why am I thinking this? What is this me? Is it a reaction? Is it something I need to, or do I need to stay and fight? Do I need to stay, and I don't mean fight, mm-hmm. but do I need to stay and fight for the truth and try to dialogue with others? Now, we've talked about that stuff on air before, but that's something I had to do in the very first church I was involved with, became apparent, really because of the ministry of Dr. Martin on radio, became apparent to me after I heard enough of him that I wasn't getting the truth at church, and I started asking questions, and suddenly I was looked at funny. So, but we have to look in our hearts. Why am I doing this? Our motivations are really important here.
Larry Kutzler, somebody might come to you, a church member when you were a pastor for all those couple, three decades or so, and say they're leaving, and they might pick out one of all sorts of issues, theologies, situations that troubled them. How do you handle that?
Well, that's a good question. Most people that were leaving the church I pastor, they were leaving for the big church because there were much more opportunity for programming, for youth and everything else. We were a small church, a couple hundred people, so it was really difficult. If you were to ask me the same question that you ask Eric and mm-hmm. Jill, I would ask this question. Who is at the center of the theology of this church? Because I've been to churches where they promote themselves so much mm-hmm. that I think that they're worshiping themselves more than they are Jesus Christ. And we know the Scripture is very clear that the last days that people will turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And when people come up and say, well, the Lord said this, well, where do you find that in the Scripture? That's what I was saying earlier. We're not asking the good questions. Where is that found? How does that play out? What did the Lord mean by that? We just accept it. And I think that's the big mistake that many Christians make.
I love that passion, Larry.
Eric, we were talking a little bit during the break about the five reactions to liberalism when it began to manifest. Let's clarify that it began to manifest almost 100 years ago now, probably in 1910, 1920 or so, liberalism in the mainline denominations. The five reactions to that, how did they manifest?
Well, this is something I put together through time and through lots of responses and just talking about it, praying about it, looking at it. Some of them moved their membership to doctrinally sound churches because they recognized what was going on. They were people who knew the scripture. When they realized they could not make any changes and were not being heard where they were, they went to protect their family. And if we have kids, our tendency to stick around in a situation that is not good may be a lot shorter than some of us who are there who are trying to bring changes because we have friends and love the people and don't want to see something terrible happen to a church setting that we've been a part of. Next, they would stay there. That would be the next thing because they didn't know any better. They were biblically ignorant, so they stayed in a church that was on the way down. Next, they did it because of tradition, family, and friendships, the hardest single point.
Right.
They stayed there because their grandmother helped start the church. I have a famous story that happened to me where somebody was defending their church that had gone down the tubes, and their grandmother is buried in the church graveyard, and you know, so they were going to stay no matter what. The next thing is they stayed there because they were next to be on the board. They were next to be a deacon. They stayed to attain power. They stayed there for the prestige of it. And as Larry pointed out, so often that's the case. And the last one is the saddest point. They walked out and they never came back to church. Mm. They abandoned church altogether and they gave up on Christianity because they had seen that Christianity doesn't mean what the Bible says. That may be the most devastating thing. And you think about how many people's lives and eternities have been put in the balance because we've decided not to follow what the scripture says.
Jill, your reaction to what Eric has said, particularly the liberalism angle, because again, that's prominent today.
It is. And unfortunately, it's almost like a cancer that's spreading. There's a reason why the church is referred to as the remnant. And that is because only a very small group will adhere to the doctrine that is taught in the Word of God. We see it everywhere. People redefining things. A heart is not a heart. A lung is not a lung. Communion is not what the Bible teaches it is. There's all these things that are flooding into the church. And the best thing that we can do, if you see it happening, the best thing you can do is pray, read your scripture, know what you're talking about. If there are others like-minded, go with them to the leadership in as humble a spirit as you can. Stand for what is right because God will bless you for it. And that's the only way you're going to root it out. It's like digging weeds in your garden. You have to get down on your hands and knees, dig in the dirt, and get each individual weed out of that garden. And it's hard work.
Well, you used a word remnant. Sometimes I call this program Radio for the Remnant. And it seems like it gets down to a remnant who are searching for truth, who want to hear truth, who don't want to accept the aberration. Again, not looking for perfection, but can't handle it when the pastor is promoting the labyrinth behind the church that we all have to walk, and we'll have self-realization and self-actualization if we do. Can't handle that. So, but is it just a remnant that's thinking that way? I don't know.
There's this thing about human nature, and it always wants to complicate the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is so beautiful in that simplicity that all you have to do is read John 3:16, and there you have the gospel. I look at things like gemstones falling from the air and oil appearing and feathers and all these things that happen in these aberrant churches. And I think, that does not sound like God to me. That does not sound like the solid doctrine of the scripture to me.
Well, those who are experiencing that would say that it's a real God thing.
A lot of those things have been associated with occult happenings. Yeah. So it's a very dangerous place to be when you have these kinds of manifestations. Smoke floating through the air, those kinds of things. I would step back and actually I would probably go running from that particular church.
Yeah, these are things that didn't happen in the early church. They're not recorded in scripture.
No.
And they're much more like Satan who loves to show off.
Yeah, why does God need these things? God doesn't need to drop gemstones. God doesn't need to have oil appear and feathers fall and all these strange happenings. No, this is not what God is about.
And Eric, you happen to have a pamphlet available because time's not going to allow us to get into the errors of the emergent church. Also, it's also known as postmodernism. How to spot the emergent church in your church.
People have downloaded thousands of them and printed even more, and I encourage people to get it from our website. It's a simple 8.5 by 11 two-sided brochure they can print to them for themselves and then fold, and it gives you a starting point. It's certainly a touch point you can hand to somebody and say, do you think this is going on here? Or maybe you got friends or family who are experiencing a church in mayhem. And these points that I've got in this go far beyond the emergent church, because that's a term that isn't being used like it once was. Mm-hmm. But the points will definitely help lead you through the troubled waters and give you some answers.
Well, you say in the little pamphlet, are books or videos by teachers such as Brian McLaren, Rob Bell, Doug Padgett, Tony Jones being recommended or used in classes, home groups, or church services? These men began by simply questioning the authority of the Bible and the orthodox nature of Christian doctrine, and have now redefined what they call Christianity into a completely cultic yet loosely defined and identified religions. And you ask, have biblical doctrines such as salvation by grace, repentance, and reality of a literal hell been marginalized or abandoned? Lots of other good things. You can find that pamphlet at ericbarger.com. ericbarger.com, how to spot the emergent church in your church. And that's the influx of postmodernism. And Jill, we talked about a book by your dad, which is now an ebook. Talk
yes.
to us about it, your website.
WalterMartin.com, Essential Christianity. It's an ebook. You can download it and have it the same day.
WalterMartin.com. Folks, don't call here. It's WalterMartin.com for the ebook of the title
Essential Christianity.
All right, I got to close out on this program. We've tried to cover some church related issues, dysfunction, problems, emails that we're all getting as to the way the church is operating today or not operating. And many people today understand the church as a building, and this is not a biblical understanding of the church. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which is defined as an assembly or called out ones. The church is the body of Christ, of which he is the head. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, though, quite frankly, dark forces are coming against it every day. I want to thank you for listening this week. We'll talk to you again next weekend.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective, costing us thousands of dollars. This listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With the blessed hope in view, each week Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview, 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.